Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 16th, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We will be continuing our study in verse 7. 1 John 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, as we witness the apostasy of Client Nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The United States of America is currently the client nation to God. And the United States of America has a constitution that is absolutely phenomenal. It's one of the greatest constitutions for governing a nation ever written down. But it has a flaw. The flaw is not in the Constitution. The flaw is in the citizenry of the nation. Our Constitution, as great as it is, demands from the citizenry honor, virtue. And when the citizenry of this nation no longer has that honor and virtue, the Constitution, as great as it is worthless. We have within our nation more and more people, leftists, liberals, socialists, they have a mantra that they go by. It's the same mantra that the Communist Party has, which is the end justifies the means. And that's why communism can murder millions of people. And it's okay, because the end justifies the means. Well, that's the same mantra in this country of liberals, socialists, leftists. The end justifies the means. Therefore, they can lie and cheat and deceive And it's okay in an election. It's okay to cheat and lie and deceive. It's okay as long as they win. That's all that counts. And when we have that in our citizenry, we will not continue as a client nation to God that much longer. We're not the only nation that has problems like this. There's another nation that is the apple of God's eye, Israel. They have the very same problem. They had a prime minister. His name was Benjamin Netanyahu. He was excellent. Excellent prime minister. Conservative, excellent, fantastic. He was destroyed by lies, character assassination, accused in the last election of committing crimes. And as a result, he was defeated and replaced with a prime minister that has no honor, no integrity, who is a liar and deceiver, and lied and deceived the people in Israel so he could get elected. And as soon as he was elected, he did the exact opposite of what he said. Hal Lindsey, a pivotal time in Israel. Israel's prime minister, current one, Naftali Bennett's fragile governing coalition may have just doomed itself. They were unable to renew a law that has been automatic ever since the Six-Day War. The statute simply applies Israeli law to Israeli citizens in Judea and Samaria. It is an essential law, and failure to pass it creates a major problem. Many observers see it as the last straw that will bring down the present coalition. Writing for Newsweek in April, Israeli columnist Caroline Glick said, quote, "The glue that formed the basis of the Bennett-Lapid government, which is comprised of three small right-wing parties, two moderate left parties, and two radical left parties, and the Muslim Brotherhood aligned Islamic party, Ra'am." What was the glue that held that together? A common hatred for Benjamin Netanyahu. Ousting Netanyahu required them to form a government with the Muslim Brotherhood and the radical left. As the leader of Israel's new right party, Prime Minister Bennett bills himself as a conservative. He's not a conservative. He is a liar, a deceiver, and Israel is in serious problem. But as you can see from Caroline Glick's comments, the coalition he put together in order to form a government is anything but conservative. Bennett only won 7 seats in the last election. That's 5% of the seats. But he was able to maneuver his way into the job of prime minister. During the campaign, he promised not not to form a government with the extreme left or with an Arab party aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood. After the election, he promptly did both of those things. He lied, he deceived. It didn't matter. The end justifies the means. See, this is what's going on in America. This is what's going on in Israel right now. The end justifies the means. So you lie to the nation. You deceive them. You say whatever you need to say. You destroy someone else like Netanyahu. They made up this deal that he had committed crimes. Well, that's all been thrown out. That was all lies. That was just to get him out of the way, character assassination, so that they could assume power. Benjamin Netanyahu was a great prime minister. Despite Bennett's conservative past, his government has repeatedly acceded to the agenda of the left wing. And that's despite the fact that as a nation, Israel remains largely conservative. At the time of the last election, former Prime Minister Netanyahu was being charged with major crimes. That has since all fallen apart as lies, just to destroy an individual. The same thing goes on with liberals and socialists in this country toward any conservative leader. They do the exact same thing. We're doing the same thing in America that they did in Israel. Without that unique circumstance, there is no way people aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood and extreme leftists would be running Israel's government. But for the moment, that seems to be what's happening. This government has not stood up to the latest wave of Palestinian terrorism. And they have ceded more and more of Israel's sovereignty to the Palestinians. And the Israeli people are getting fed up. In a bid to keep his power, Bennett recently invoked the Bible. According to Israel Today, Bennett stated that if his government falls, Israel will return to a state of tohu wabohu. You know where that is? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Without form and void. It is a stunning thing for a political leader to say that he does for his nation what God did when he created the world. It does not bode well for him or his coalition. See, I listen to some of you, and you're all just, oh, yeah, at this next election, we're going to all, it's going to be come back, the liberals are going to be out, and all this stuff. And you have your head in the sand. You're no different than an ostrich. Those in power, they will deceive and cheat and lie. And they will continue this deal about COVID, a COVID issue, so that you have more write-in ballots. And look at the last election. Trump was winning until in the key states, the key places,
And the 24 hour, all of a sudden they threw out all the observers. All the observers were kicked out. And in the next 24 hours, all of a sudden they found boxes and boxes of mail-in ballots. And Trump lost and Democrat won. That's why they keep pushing and pushing this COVID thing and mail-in ballots. When I voted, and I always go in there and I say, you want to see my identification, ID? No, you don't have to show that. Well, I got to show it every other effing place. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't go do anything without showing. Let me see your ID. And this is a hell of a lot more important than those things. Everybody should have to show their ID. And then I went through and voted. And yet it's a great system. Only if there is integrity and virtue and honor. But the citizenry of this nation has to have that for the Constitution, as great as it is, to work. It can't operate when the citizenry is cheating and deceiving and lying. It just won't work. First John chapter 3. And I hope you understand there is no one loves this country as much as I do. I love America. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. I love what it stands for, the freedom. I love it for the men who gave the supreme sacrifice in battles to give us this freedom. And the freedom we have to be here tonight, the freedom to worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Take advantage of it. Because the way things are going, it may not be here. Much longer. First John 3. Well, let's have the corrected translation of verses 5 and 6 before we get into verse 7. Indeed, you know that he, that unique person, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was revealed for the purpose that he might take away, remove, blot out our sins. In fact, there is absolutely no sin in him, the impeccability of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, we have a contrast between the believer living the spiritual life with the believer living in the cosmic system. First of all, the believer living the spiritual life. Anyone who abides in him. Now, I told you that the Apostle John has favorite words. The first of those favorite words is meno, to abide. Often translated that way, abide, remain, stay. It's a verb that he uses all throughout his epistles to describe the spiritual life. What is the abiding life? The abiding life is living the spiritual life. And where did he get this vocabulary? From Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus Christ in his humanity, his favorite of all the disciples was John. And John was there listening to Christ, and he used the very same vocabulary that Jesus Christ used. Jesus Christ used meno, the abiding life. And John uses that to describe the spiritual life. And he uses another one, agape. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I give to you a new command that you love one another. A new command, a new mandate that you love, agape, one another. And Jesus Christ gave that again and again. John 13, John 15, over and over Jesus Christ used agape. And John was there, and John took that, and in his epistles, they're centered around meno, the spiritual life, agape, which is virtue love. Now the Apostle Paul also had a favorite word that characterized his epistles. That is charis. Grace. Paul's epistles are characterized by the word charis, grace. John's epistles are characterized by meno, the abiding life, and agape, virtue, love. So in verse 6, we have first of all the believer living the abiding life. Anyone who abides in him, meno, living the spiritual life, as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life, he is not sinning. Now, in contrast, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor is he knowing him. Now that brings us to verse 7. In 1 John 3, verse 7, when you are living the abiding life, the spiritual life, then you will attain grace righteousness, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity. When you're living the abiding life, the spiritual life, you will attain grace righteousness, and secondly, you will have grace righteous production in your life. You will put on the royal, you will live your life by the royal family honor code. You will put on the uniform of sacred honor. When you advance to spiritual maturity, you will put on the uniform of sacred honor, of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, and manifest sacred honor and virtue and integrity in your life. Verse 7. John starts out in the King James, it says, little children. Well, I'm sure John had a great deal for little children. But this is referring to something far greater than that. It's technia in the Greek. This is the vocative plural of technion. But in the scriptures, technion is only used in the vocative plural, technia, which is what we have. So a couple of things. Where did he get this word? Where did John get this word? Well, if you say, you kind of get the idea. From Jesus Christ. Yes, exactly. So point one, the Lord Jesus used technia to address his disciples. And John was there as he was addressed by Jesus Christ, technia. So This is one of John's favorite words as well, technia. Turn over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So here is another one of John's favorite words. Now we've got three of his favorite words. Meno, he uses over and over and over again. Agape, he for virtue love, he uses over and over and over again. And now, technia. And where did he get all these? From Jesus Christ. John 13, verse 33. Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he says, technia. Here's the word. Jesus Christ uses this. Technia. My children is the way it's translated, but it means far more than that. It means students, my disciples, my students. I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. Agape. So technia is one of his favorite words. Students under authority. Disciples. Agape is one of his main words. Virtue love. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another with virtue love. So when he uses technia, he used it here, addressing disciples, his disciples, students under authority. Two, it was also used by the communicators. Communication gifts such as apostle, especially John, and pastors to address their congregation as students under authority. John is addressing his congregation as students under authority. This word, technia, is used by the Apostle John in 1 John 2, verse 12, 1 John 2, verse 28, 1 John 3, verse 7, our passage, 1 John 3, 18, 1 John 4, verse 4, 1 John 5, verse 21. And where did he get it from? Jesus Christ. Where did he get mental from? Jesus Christ. Where did he get agape from? Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew how John was just... John was 100% with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maximum humility, positive volition. And the Lord totally knew that. That's why this was his favorite disciple to be around. Three, the technia have positive volition and humility. Nothing like humility. Respect for authority. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. That's why the military is so great. And serving in the military is so great. Because you learn to function under authority, respect authority. And it, yes, sir. One of the best things that any one can do is serve in the military, although our
Right now, the rank and file in the military are far, far greater than the leaders in the military. So point four, therefore, these are teachable believers. John uses this. He was the most teachable of all the disciples, and he uses this in addressing students under his authority, his congregation. These are teachable believers. Five, it emphasizes the importance of the foundational virtue of humility. That foundational virtue which you must have if you're ever going to live the spiritual life and advance to spiritual maturity and become what we have in our verse, a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer who operates by the royal family honor code. Corrected translation. Well, you can put down little children, but it's really teachable believers. Teachable believers. Let no man deceive you. This is the negative adjective meides, used as a substantive, plus the present active imperative of planao, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. Meides. Looks like that in the Greek, M-long-E-D-E-I-S, meides. Meides as an adjective is translated no. However, when it's used as a substantive, which is a noun, as it is in our verse, then it means nobody or no one. And then the verb planao. Planao, P-L-A-N-A long O, planao. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally, planao means to lead astray or to cause someone to wander. To lead astray or to cause someone to wander. And by the way, this is going to be covered in greater detail when we get to 1 John chapter 4. And it's beautiful. It's been a lot of communicators don't know what the hell is being taught in 1 John 4, but if you hang around here another 20 years, you might see. Two, when it's used figuratively as in our verse, then it means to mislead, to deceive. To mislead, to deceive. Three, the ones doing the deceiving are those believers living in Satan's cosmic system. And when you do that, guess what you become? You become the devil's disciple. Not the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You become the devil's disciple. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're living your life in the cosmic system, you're a disciple. You're a student, all right? You're the devil's disciple. He is your mentor. He's the one who is teaching you and training you, not Jesus Christ. So the ones doing the deceiving are believers living in the cosmic system. They are the devil's disciples. Four, as the ruler of this world, one of Satan's main strategies is deception and lies. This is how he operates. Deception and lies.
5. Satan is the greatest liar and the greatest deceiver of human history. Satan is the greatest liar, the greatest deceiver of history. 6. To be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. To be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. And John again, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus Christ is holding Bible class and he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." He was a murderer from the beginning, and they want to murder Jesus Christ. They want to crucify him, and they will, and they think they've won. They've just carried out Operation Grace, the plan of salvation that God the Father designed. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. So again, point 6. To be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. John 8:44. 7. The MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is also deception and lies. You can always tell when a believer is living his life in the cosmic system. This is his MO. This is how he operates. Deception and lies. That's not the spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit is no, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is not deception and lies. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue love, which summarizes all the rest. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So the MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is deception and lies. 8. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive just like his mentor. He is a disciple of the devil. A believer in Jesus Christ, but because he's living in the cosmic system, he has become the devil's disciple. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive just like his mentor. 9. These believers become the agents of the devil. This is coming up in verse 8. Previews the coming attraction. Verse 8. The one who commits sin is guilty of sin. He's now in the cosmic system. He is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. So we're getting there. We're 7. Next, after 7 is 8. I know some of you, you didn't take math, or if you did, you flunked. So I just thought I'd help you out. 7 and 8. 10. Satan works through such believers who have become his agents. Satan works through such believers who have become his agents, and their MO is deception and lies.
11. Sadly, many times these believers are your friends and loved ones living in Satan's cosmic system. And that always breaks your heart. Many times these believers are your friends and loved ones living in Satan's cosmic system, and it breaks your heart. The personal pronoun Sue is you, referring to teachable believers, believers with positive volition and humility, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So our corrected translation, little children, teachable believers, students under authority, let no one deceive you. One. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system rationalize their sins. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system rationalize their sin. They have a neat way of justifying their behavior, but how, you can't justify the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, deception and lies. Two, this epistle went to churches throughout Asia Minor, including those mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3. This epistle went to churches throughout Asia Minor, including those mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Three, these believers are described in Revelation 2, verses 14 and 15, Revelation 2, 20 and 23. Let's turn over to Revelation. These believers are described. Revelation 2, verse 14. This is John writing to the church at Pergamum. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. The verb is porneuo, where we get pornography. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Then down in verse 20, his message to the church at Thyatira. Verse 20, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality, again, porneuo, and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her followers dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Four. John is saying, do not let these believers living in Satan's cosmic system deceive you.
He is saying, do not let these believers living in Satan's cosmic system deceive you. Five. Of course, when you're living by the arrogant skills, what is one of the problems? Self-deception. You know, these believers actually deceive themselves. Sure, they function under deceiving others, but they also function by deceiving themselves. So point five, they thought they could do these things and still be in fellowship with God. Self-deception. They're not living by the spiritual skills, living by the arrogant skills. Self-deception, deceiving yourself. Self-justification, justifying what you're doing. Rationalizing it that it's okay. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. They thought they could do these things and still be in fellowship with God. Six. The rationalization of sin and living in Satan's cosmic system is an old habit of loser believers living, well, all throughout human history. Loser believers all throughout human history. The rationalization of sin and living in Satan's cosmic system is an old habit describing man throughout human history. Seven. They would rather rationalize their sins and live in the cosmic system than live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They would rather rationalize their sins and live in the cosmic system than live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They would rather live in darkness rather than in light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The spiritual life is light. God has given us this spiritual light so that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. Eight. In order not to be deceived, therefore, the believer must know and believe that the one who practices righteousness is righteous, is a grace righteous, spiritually mature believer, just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous. In order not to be deceived, therefore, the believer must know and believe that the believer who practices righteousness, lives by the royal family honor code, sacred honor, virtue, virtue love, integrity, is righteous. He's a grace righteous, spiritually mature believer, just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous. Nine. The issue is, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Infinite integrity, infinite virtue. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. 10. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills brings the believer to spiritual maturity. And the synonym that's used here in our verse is dikaiosune, and it's grace righteousness, a synonym for spiritual maturity. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills brings the believer to spiritual maturity, described here as grace righteousness, with maximum grace righteous production that glorifies God. He's put on the uniform of honor, sacred honor. He's living by the royal family honor code, sacred honor, virtue, integrity. 11. The spiritual life is a life of sacred honor, integrity, virtue, grace righteousness. The winner believer puts on the uniform of sacred honor. Boy, do we need this in America today. This is what we need in America today. The spiritual life is a life of sacred honor, integrity, virtue, grace, righteousness. The winner believer puts on the uniform of sacred honor. So, little children, students under authority, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Hapoion tein dikaiosunein dikaios estin. Yeah. This is the articular present active participle of poieo plus the accusative singular of dikaiosune with the definite article plus the present active indicative of eimi and the nominative singular of the adjective dikaios. Start out with the verb poieo. P-O-I-E long O. Poieo. A couple of points. First of all, when you look this up, it has a general meaning. The general meaning is to do or to make. To do or to make. Point two, specifically, it means to keep, to carry out, to practice, to perform. To keep, to carry out, to practice, to perform. Three, in our verse, it describes the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Four, this believer practices, performs, carries out dikaiosune, righteousness. This believer practices, performs, carries out dikaiosune, righteousness. Five, he performs righteousness. He performs grace, righteous production in his life. And Amy, he is dikaios righteous. He is a grace righteous believer. He is a spiritually mature believer. So we have little children, students under authority, teachable believers. Let no one deceive you. The one who performs and practices righteousness, maximum grace righteous production, he is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer. And then he gives us the illustration. Even as he is righteous. The adverb kathos plus the nominative singular of the demonstrative pronoun ekenos, plus the present active indicative of eimi and the nominative singular of dikaios. Kathos. K-A-T-H long O-S. Kathos. Oh. No, not you. Get your ass up here. What do you think you trained in the military for? To help out the pastor. When the general dropped his pen, you got there right now. See? Okay. What are you laughing for? That's why you sit in the back row so you don't have to do it. Eh? Maybe we ought to put him in the corner and face the corner. Yeah. Even as he is righteous, kathos, it sets up a comparison. One, a comparison between the church age believer living the spiritual life with the Lord Jesus Christ living the spiritual life. A comparison between the church age believer living the spiritual life with the Lord Jesus Christ living the spiritual life. Two, sets up a comparison between the church age believer attaining grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity, with the Lord Jesus Christ attaining grace, righteousness, and spiritual maturity in His true humanity. That contrast number two, between the church age believer attaining grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity, with the Lord Jesus Christ attaining grace, righteousness, and spiritual maturity in His true humanity. Third comparison, between the church age believer having maximum grace, righteous production in his life, with the Lord Jesus Christ having maximum grace, righteous production in his life. The demonstrative pronoun ekenos, this is the far demonstrative. It's used in a very special way for the Lord Jesus Christ. E-K-E-I-N-O-S. Ekenos. And ekenos means that unique person. That unique person. The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Ami, He, the Messiah, that unique person, Jesus Christ, is dikaios, righteous, grace, righteousness, spiritual, in a spiritually mature believer in his true humanity, having virtue, love, having sacred honor, integrity. So, corrected translation. Little children, students under authority, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who performs, who does righteousness, maximum grace righteous production, he is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer. Just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is grace righteous. One, the unique spiritual life of the church age is a life of sacred honor, virtue, and integrity. A life of grace righteousness. The unique spiritual life of the church age is a life of sacred honor, virtue, and integrity. Grace righteousness. Two, grace righteousness or spiritual maturity is attained by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Grace righteousness or spiritual maturity is attained by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union lived the unique spiritual life and advanced to spiritual maturity in his true humanity, becoming grace righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union lived the unique spiritual life, advanced to spiritual maturity in his true humanity, becoming a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer. Four, this resulted in maximum grace righteousness, grace righteous production in his life. This resulted in maximum grace righteous production in his life. Five, the believer with positive volition and humility, the teachable believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, also advances to spiritual maturity and becomes a grace righteous believer. The believer with positive volition and humility, the teachable believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, also advances to spiritual maturity and becomes a grace righteous believer. Six, this also results in maximum grace righteous production in his life. This also results in maximum grace righteous production in his life. Seven, He has fulfilled the royal family honor code. He has fulfilled the royal family honor code. What does that mean? One, virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. And he lives his life by the royal family honor code. Sacred honor, virtue, integrity. That means everything. When you reach spiritual maturity, you are a grace righteous believer. Now you live your life by the royal family honor code. Sacred honor characterizes your life. Sacred honor, virtue, integrity. This is what we need more than ever in this country. If we survive as a client nation to God, it will be because of a maximum number of believers that fulfill this principle right here. This is the key. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.